Is that 7:30? Are you kidding me? Oh, man. She was at 7:30. 9:30. At 10 o'clock sheer.
Can you hear me?
Yeah. 7:30? Shlomo, can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Why is she at 7:30? What time is Mincha?
Did I write 7:30? I thought I said 7.
No, you. I just noticed it sitting here myself that you wrote 7:30.
Oh, crap.
That's a problem.
Yep. I thought I did 7. Okay.
Especially since Marv by me is at 10, which is 8.
Oh, boy.
Could we try to get it for 7:15? Can you send out a message?
Yeah, I'm sending it now. I'm sorry about that.
Okay, I'll see you in a few minutes. I see. Ah,
here we have one person.
I think I know this person. Nu, was machst du Yid? New, what's new and exciting on South Forest?
I'm eating it up there.
I'm going to text it. New and exciting. Sorry about that, really, Rap.
No problem. Okay, I'll come back and find. See, what time are you going to call for 7:15?
No, I just wrote. My apologies. You were supposed to be at 7. Please log this and we'll begin. So I'm going to just send a text message to everyone.
So I send to the usual suspects. Yeah. Send it to Schreiber. Send it to Cole. Jaime. Yep. Maybe send it to Jaime. He's been your regular.
Yeah, I'm going to text everyone right now.
Okay. I'll be back in 2 minutes.
What happened, Shlomo?
I put 7:30 by accident. I used an old email.
Oh, so people didn't sign on.
Yeah.
Okay. That's life.
Hi, Dad, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, long time no see.
Dad,
well, I just haven't been on video. I've just been listening.
Dad,
when are you coming back?
In a couple of weeks, I think. I'm not sure.
I have a few Gucci bags for sale. I got them from a store in Manhattan when I was participating in the riots.
Oh, good for you.
They're very cheap. For you, $1,000 a bag, no problem. has it been bad in Arizona or it's been quiet?
It's, there are demonstrations, but they're
there's
all...
No damages.
A week or so ago, there was some looting in a few stores, but now it's very peaceful.
Okay.
So it's okay. It's there's a ton more cases of coronavirus here just in the last few days.
Really, in Arizona?
Is that because of
the demonstrations?
I don't know. It's people are walking around outside like there's nothing wrong. You know, like everything is normal.
Look, at a certain point, we're going to have to live with this. We cannot lock the whole world up for the next 50 years. It's impossible.
Well, yeah, but you don't want to get sick either, you know?
That's true. But people are going to have to take a chance. It's like driving a car, going on a plane, or whatever, you know?
Well,
it's a risk you have to take.
The fact is, when you drive a car, you follow the rules and you, you know, stop at the stoplights and all that. But with this virus, you know, people like us, me, who are at risk because of my age, it kills you, you know.
So, try not to be in close contact with people. When I go out, I go at hours. Say I go shopping, for example. I don't go like at 6 in the evening to the deli where everybody's there. I go at 8 o'clock in the morning when he opens up. I run in, I buy 4 items, and I get back. I'm the only guy in the store, me and somebody else, you know, in and out.
That's good.
Or to King Supers. I don't go to the King Supers or Leeds there. It's packed with people. I found the King Supers somewhere else in another location, but there's maybe 10 people in the whole store. It's quiet. I go in there.
That's very smart.
Yeah, I mean, be creative. I go to Sprouts markets, you know, so do the same thing. You know, I don't look bedafka to go. When I come to a store and I see there's a line outside, I just drive away. I don't want to wait now because that's a bad sign. That means they're not allowing people in and the store is full. So,
sure.
And we buy most of the stuff online. It's just things I need. I mean, you can today, medicine, whatever, everything can be delivered. Fruits and veggies, I like to do it myself, you know, or feed. I don't like to order it. We ordered something from Costco, and we use Instacart.
You know, that's what we do here.
So one of the things we ordered was the ground beef from Solomon's, the kosher ground beef.
Yeah.
We put a notation, call us if something is not available. Sure enough, the guy delivers the stuff, 2 pounds of chazer treif meat, you know. I thought, Wagi, this was my chance to taste a good hamburger. Why did you have to look at the package? Anyway, we call them back, apologize.
Joining on.
And they give us the money back.
I texted her.
And they said you can throw it away. So I gave it to my cleaning lady. She was very happy.
I'm sure.
Okay, you
do. Okay, a couple more people are joining now as well.
Okay, you'll just tell me when.
Ted,
Yankees are still undefeated, huh?
Yeah, so far, so good.
at this rate, it's going to be an undefeated season, I think. You also know why this happened. I'll explain that at the last game of the Yankee season, I went with Ted. And they gave out these vouchers for free tickets for the 2020 season. And Ted was nice enough to give me his. A lot of good that's going to do me at this point.
Very well. Do you have Marsha's number?
Are they bringing back everybody?
I have it. You want me to get it?
Or not?
Yeah, send it to me so I could tell her.
1 second.
Are they bringing back everybody to YU or you don't know yet?
I'll get a number.
Is it very hot in Arizona, Ted?
Well, it's been up to 110, but this week is cool. You know, it's only in the 90s.
Oh. So you're using your coat.
So, you know, we're sitting outside on the patio, and we take a walk now and then. But a lot of the time, we're inside in air conditioning.
Okay. That's good, because it could be brutal over there. It could be 115, 120. Very bad.
Sure. Yeah, it's been 110. So, you know, it's pretty warm.
Okay. Enjoy while it lasts.
That's right.
I know what's going to happen. You come back to Denver in the winter and you're going to complain the whole time that it's cold.
Well, that's the problem. I don't know if I go back and there's a second wave of the virus, can I get back to Arizona next winter? That's a big question.
From Denver, you can always get back. Denver is the center of the world.
Pueblo.
Malaysia, Ivan, how are you doing?
All right. Tovia, how are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Since this morning, all right.
It's this morning. No news.
All right, Rap. Marcia's on her way in, and I texted it Cole, so we can start. Okay.
Has Patty been doing these Sunday nights?
I think she has a hard time on Sunday nights, but I could call her.
Okay.
I'll mute myself if you want to start. I'll call her.
Are we waiting for Marcia, or are we starting, Shalom?
You could start.
Okay, we're going to start. Fine. Welcome, one and all. We're up to Perek Chaf Gimel in Shmuel Aleph. If when we last left off, so like we've been doing a lot of, Shaul is running after David. And if you remember at the very end of the last Perek, so after Shaul had Doeg wipe out Nov, the Ir Kohanim, he killed all the Kohanim, men, women, and children. One of the Kohen Gadol's sons survived. That son of Yasar ran away to David, and David said that he would protect him. That becomes important. So here David's on the run, and all of a sudden David gets a word that his services are needed. So looking at the beginning of Parakhav Gimel, says, Vayagidu l'David l'emar, hinei plishtim nilchamim b'ki'ila, v'heim shows him esagranos. He said that the city of Ki'ila has been attacked by the Philistines, and they are, in fact, they are going and they're clearing out the food storage. Now, that's interesting. We seem to be clear there that they're not killing people, but rather they are just looting, shall we say, as we say here in New York. You know, they are looting. They are looting for justice. That's what they're doing. So there was a suggestion, by the way, that here in New York, we're going to start every single tefillah by saying, boy, I really hate the rabbi. Because then it becomes a protest and we can have as many people in shul as we want. So the Gemara in Erevin points out that in certain cities, the question is, when do you violate Shabbos to start a war? So in the event that it's a matter of life or death, right? If there's an attack on a city, of course you violate Shabbos. What if it's not a matter of life or death? It's just a matter of looting. Then what do you do? So the Gemara tells us it depends. If it is a border city, if it is a city that sits on the border, therefore it is strategically important, if that's the case, then of course even Shabbos gets violated because it's very important. What's the proof? So if you look at number one on the sheet, which for some reason says 13, it says, Darish Rav Dustoy, the Minbari, Maidik Siv, Vayagidu David Lemor, Hine Plishtim Nilchamim Bekiil, Vahim Shosim Asagranos. Why does it say here that they're attacking and they are clearing out the storehouses of grain? So he explains, Ki'ilu iras mucha l'sapa, it was a border city, v'heim l'bo ela iske tevin v'kash, that they were, in fact, they weren't looking to kill people, they were just doing this for monetary gain, and still, as we see, David's going to go fight them. Now, David's in kind of in betwixt and between. On the one hand, he's a fugitive. He's running away from the king. If he shows up at a battle, he's going to be putting himself in danger. So he can't decide what to do, but he's in luck. Why is he in luck? He's in luck because he has the son of the Kohen Gadol with him. So it says in Pasuk, Visho David Badonoi Lemor, Hailech Vikesi Baprishtim, Haile, Vayomar Adonoi David, Lech Vikisu Baprishtim, Vyoshat Deskeila. So he turns to God. How does David talk to God? How does one communicate with God? What's the answer?
Urim v'tumim.
Urim v'tumim. That is correct. That by the Kohen Gadol had a breastplate. The breastplate was called the Choshen Mishpat. According to Rashi, it was made out of cloth. It was folded over, and inside was the name of God, the 72-letter name. That gave it special powers, and therefore, based on that, if a Kohen or Kohen Gadol perhaps would ask a question while wearing this, the letters would light up and they would go give the correct answer. So David asks, now that he has the son of the Kohen Gadol and the previous Kohen Gadol was wiped out, so arguably this is the Kohen Gadol that he has with him, and he brought with him this aphod. We'll discuss what that is. He says, "What should I do?" And God tells him, "Go for it. Fight the war." Now, of course, David's people were less than excited about it. Vayomer anshe David elav hinei anachnu po b'Yehuda yireim va'av kinei l'chila el maros ha'plishtim. He says, it's not bad enough that we are right now fighting a war. We're trying to save our lives. But now we're going to go and start off with the plishtim. This isn't bad enough that we don't have enough enemies. In fact, interestingly, if you look at number two on the sheet, the Medrash tells us that this is one of the 10 Kal Vachomers that you have in the Torah. There are 10 times in Tanakh that there is an argument that is a Kal Vachomer. For example, one is, if you look at the case, when Hashem says to Moshe, go speak to Paro. He said, I should speak to Paro? B'nai Yisrael, my own people don't listen to me. Paro's going to listen to me. That's a Kal Vachomer. If I can't even get my people, I'm going to get the enemy to listen to me. So that's one. Right. Similarly, you have other cases when the Moshe says to the people in Zos HaBracha, as long as I was with you, you were ready sinners. Now I'm going to leave. It's going to get much worse. Of course you're not going to be any better. Right. So too here, these people, this is one of the 10 cases of Kal Vachomer. They said, we are having enough trouble handling the people that are running after us. Now we're going to start running after people. So the people say, we're not interested in this. We don't want to go. So how does David answer? So David says, well, I've got a reason to. So in Pasuk Daled, he says, Vayosef, O David, Lishol ba'Adonai, Ve'aneyu Adonai, Ve'yomer, Kum rei ki'ila, Ki ani nosen es plishtim b'yadecha. So he said, well, watch this. Bring out the aphod. And he says, look, I'm going to ask God, what should we do? And God tells me to do it. So David, and with that, the people say, if God said so, that's good enough for me. And with that, the people of Keilah are saved. Now, we take a step back and we say, how is David speaking to God? He just did it twice. So in Pasuk Vav, it says, Vayihi bevroach ev yasar ben Achimelech al Dov ki'ilo, eifo yara biyado. When ev yasar, the son of Achimelech, the Kohen Gadol, who was killed in Nov, ran away, he brought the ephod with him. Vayugad l'sha'ol kiva Dov ki'ilo, vayomer l'sha'ol nikar osa lohim biyadi, ki niskar rovo biyad rasayim v'riach. So with that, Shaul says, oh my goodness, obviously word of a battle with the Plishtim gets out. And Shaul says, this is the best break ever. God has given me over David in my hands. There is a major machlokes as to what's going on here. If you look at the Ibn Ezra at number 3, the Ibn Ezra says, there are a few questions we have on this. The first one is, when we say that somebody asks the Kohen Gadol a question for Hashem, we say he asks with the Urim V'Tumim. We don't say yes with the ephod, right? The ephod was the sort of apron that the Kohen Gadol wore, and the apron had on top of it attached the Choshen Mishpat, the 12 stones, and within that you had the Urim V'Tumim. Quick question, anybody know which university has the motto of Urim V'Tumim?
Yale,
correct. As we refer to them, the other YU. So Yale University has the motto of Urim V'Tumim, right? Why Urim V'Tumim? That is the way of we get the word of God, right? Most Ivy League universities have wonderful mottos. I remember when the Richard Joel took over as president, he didn't like Torah Mada, so he came up with another idea: bring wisdom to life. And people said that's the stupidest motto we ever heard. It sounds so guyish. What's wrong with Torah Mada? So he actually called me in to ask me what I thought. I said, I don't like either of them. If it was up to me, I would say, Kiba Orcha Nira Or. In your light, we see the light. Meaning, through the prism of God's wisdom, we are able to understand science and mathematics. And he said, wow, that's a really good idea. Why don't we do it? I said, because that's Columbia's motto. Columbia University is Kibbe Archanir. It's in Latin, but that's what they say. So it happens to be that all the good ones were taken by the Ivy Leagues. So the question is, first question is, why is it says that it's the Aphon? Why doesn't he say it was the Urim V'Tumim, or at least the Choshen, which are the stones that light up? Next, he says, if you look at Pasuk Vav, it says that when Avyasa ben Achimelech went to David, he took Aphod. He took an Aphod. You'd expect to say, take the Aphod, Ha Aphod, with the Hey Ayidia. So it doesn't say that. And then later on, the David Ezra said, you have another problem. A little bit of a spoiler alert. In 5 Prakim from now, Shaul's going to be in terrible trouble. And it's going to be a battle with the Plishtim. He's not going to know what to do. And it's going to say he's going to try everything. And he tried everything, and eventually he had no choice. He went to a Balas Ov. He went to some woman who brings back the dead. So what was everything he tried? He said he even asked the Urim V'Tumim. But wait a second. How could he ask the Urim V'Tumim if David had it? So the Ibn Ezra, based on that, makes the following comment. He says, in fact, that the Aphod that David had here was not the Aphod of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu made an original Big Day Kahuna, but that was not what he had here. He had a copy. And he has, interesting there, if you look at 4 lines from the bottom in number 3, he says, V'nei Aphodim Rabim Hoya im HaKohanim. The Kohen had many copies of the Aphod. They were just missing the breastplate. That if somebody knew what they were doing, they would be able to respond with a copy of the Aphod. He said, and that's what was going on here, that David HaMelech did not have the Urim V'Tumim, but he had a copy of the Urim V'Tumim. He did not have the actual Urim V'Tumim, and he was using a copy, and Eviasar, as the son of the Kohen Gadol, knew how to use it. The Radak later on is going to say he doesn't buy this. The Radak's going to explain that when Shaul is going to use the Urim V'Tumim later on, he's going to send people to David. He's going to say, David, listen, I know you care about Klal Yisrael, and therefore I ask you, can you ask the following question with the Urim V'Tumim? But Shaul never had it. And the Radak disagrees. He thinks that David had the actual Urim V'Tumim. Interestingly, the Ramban agrees with the Ibn Ezra. The Ramban in Parshas Tetzaveh, number 5, he says that this was not the actual Aphod. It wasn't the one that was made by Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a knockoff. And since it was a knockoff, that's the reason why, you know, it was a great trick that he was able to use it, but it was not that Eviasar brought the original with him. It's strange to say that because the Gemara does not sound that way. If you look at the Gemara at number 6, the Gemara says there's all sorts of rules if you're going to use the Aphod. One of the rules we're going to see in a minute from now is you can only ask one question at a time. Right, we have here in New York, every day de Blasio speaks, the mayor, and every day the governor speaks, and everybody's allowed one question. Every question is a compound question, right? So when it comes to God, he doesn't allow you to get away with that. So let's read on a little more. So in Pasuk Zion, it says, Vayugad l'shol kivo David ki'ilo, vayomer shol nikar oso alehim liyodi, ki nisker lovo b'yerdos ha'im v'riach. He says he's going to be trapped now. There's no way he's going to get away from me. Amazing. So what happened here? David, at his own risk, goes down to save the city of Keilah, right, which is a city in Yehuda. And now Shaul's going to attack the same city, trying to get David. But David was no idiot. David knew clearly this is what's going to happen. So the question is, what does David do? So David needs to know, when Shaul comes down, are the people going to protect me? Or am I going? Are they going to give me over? So Yeda David ki alav Shaul macharisha rav ayom el yasar kohen hagisha eifod. So he says, listen, get.
What?
No, so I think you muted me. Okay, I am unmuted. So, again, as I was saying, so David has to know what to do. Does he stay in Keilah and rely on the protection of the people of Yehuda? Now remember, David is from the Shevet Yehuda, right? These are his people, and he just saved them. So it might be reasonable to say, okay, I'm just going to sit where I am, and I'll be safe. So he asked the following question. Pasuk Yud, Vayomer David, Adonai Elohe Yisrael, Shamoa Shama Avdecha Ki Mevakesh Ol Ravo Ki Lo Reshachetz Le'ir Bavuri. He said, I understand that David's going to, that Shaul's coming down and he wants to wipe out the entire city because of me. Hayaski Runi Ba'alei Ki'ira B'yado, Hayered Shaul Ka'asher Shama Avdecha, Adonai Elohe Yisrael Hagei Nol Avdecha, Vayomer Adonai Yered. He said, what's going to happen? Are these people going to give me up? Should I make a run for it? And God responds, he says, make a run for it. Now, David, you'll note, asked how many questions here? Two. That is correct. Right? He asks, one, are they going to give me over? Two, should I leave? How many does Hashem answer? Right, he only answers one. He only says Yered. He never answers the first question, and that causes David to ask the question again. So David says, "Okay, let's try that again." Vayomer David, he asks Giru Balei Kila Osives Ansh Anoshai Biyad Shaul. Vayomer Adonai Yaskiru. He said, "Okay, so let me ask the same the first question over again. Are they going to give me over?" And he says, "So now he answers that question yes." If you look at number six on the sheet, we learn something important from here. What we learn from here is when a person asks with the Urim V'Tumim, you can only ask it one question. If you ask multiple questions, you're only going to get an answer to the last question. Right? Therefore, here, David asks question one and two. He gets number two answers, so he has to ask number one over again. Right? So that's the Gemara in Yuma. And it says, Ein Shom Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad. It says, wait a second. What do you mean only answer? Isn't that the second one? What do we see from here? We see from here that the Gemara is learning a general rule about the Urim V'Tumim based on what happened here. I mean that there's a certain way that you have to ask questions, and if you ask it the wrong way, you're not going to get the right answer. So you see from here that the Gemara seemed to think that what David was using was the actual Urim V'Tumim. So this does a little bit seem to support the idea of the Radak. That in fact what David had in his hands was the actual Big Day Kuna, the actual Urim V'Tumim that Aviyasir was using. This was not a copy like the Ramban and the Ibn Ezra said. Okay, so David's got to make a run for it. Vayakam David va'anoshav kishesh me'os ish. Vayetsu me'ki'ira va'yishalchu v'asher yishalchu. U'shohu gad kinimah David me'ki'ira va'yach dalotzeis. So in fact, him and his 600 men, they make a run from it. They go every which way but loose. They split up. And Shaul hears this and he says, forget it. He doesn't even bother coming. Vayeshev David ba'midbar ba'mitzados. Vayeshev ba'har ba'midbar zif. So David, at this point, he's in Yehuda. Yehuda's in the south. South is the Sinai Desert. And he's bouncing around the desert. If anyone ever goes to the desert, right, there's many caves, as we know from Qumran, right? There's many mountains. There's a tremendous amount of places you can hide in the desert. And Shaul doesn't have a chance. He's hiding in a place called Midmar Zif. Now, one word is interesting, but I'm mitzados. What does the word mitzados mean? Mitzados, that seems to be a plural. What would the singular of mitzados be? Yossi, you, I can't hear you. Why can you unmute yourself?
Mitzuda.
Mitzuda.
A castle.
Right. What's a mitzuda? A castle, right? Or a fortress.
Yes.
Right? Mitzudas David is the fortress of David. What fortress are, do we know from their best? Sounds like a mitzuda, right? It's Masada, right? Masada is Matsada with a tzadi, right? This is the case because they had fortresses. Matsada was a fortress on top of, and where is it located? We'll see, in the same area. So again, you had all these potential fortresses out there in the south, and there's no way they were going to find David there unless someone gives him in. But yeah, so while he's hiding, David can't find it, but Yonasan can find him. So Yonasan goes to meet with David again. So Yonasan goes to visit David and to give him chizuk. Tell him that what you do, don't worry, things are great for you. Vayomer Elav, Al Tira, Kirotim Tsaracha, Yad Shaul Avi, Vatatim Ocha Yisov, Anochi Echel, Mishneh, Vagam Shaul Avi Yodea Kain. So listen, don't worry, my father's never going to catch you. You're going to be the king. When you're the king, I want to be your right-hand man. And everyone knows this is going to happen, even my father. Even my father Shaul realizes that this is inevitable. And with that, they make yet another covenant. What was the covenant this time? The covenant was that David agreed. David says, if I ever become the king of this place, you're my Mike Pence. You're my vice president. You're my right-hand man. You're the one. This is unfortunately the last time they'll ever meet. Now, David is hiding away in Yehuda. There's no way they're going to find him. And you would think that he was safe because he's being protected by his own Shevet. David is from Yehuda as opposed to Shaul, who is from Shevet?
Binyamin,
correct. Thank you. However, wasn't meant to be. Vayaru zipim el Shaul ha-givatso le'mo ha-ro David mistater imonu b'metzados b'charasha b'givat ha-chach li'ro Hashem yimin yirei yishimon. The zipim, who are the zipim? The people are the people who live in Midbar Zif. The people who live there decide that they're going to make a buck. And they go to give, they go up to Shaul and they say, we have David living among us. They sell him out. They said, you come down here, we'll point him out for you. You come down here and we'll give him over to you. Shaul says, thank you so much. Finally, somebody's looking out for me. Go down. Watch him closely. He's a pretty tricky character. He's going to slip right out of your hands. Please go down. Keep an eye on him. Show me exactly where he is. He says, I want you to go down. I want you to give me a list of all the places, all of his hideouts. And once you do that, then I'm going to go down. I'll do whatever it takes to catch him. Vayakumu vayelchu zipa lifnei Shaul v'dov Hashem b'midbar ma'on b'arval yiminu yisimon. And they come back and he is exactly where they said he was. Vayelchu Shaul v'anashov levakech v'egidu l'dov v'yered hasela v'yeshu b'midbar ma'on v'yishma Shaul v'yudov hachridov midbar ma'on. So they tell him what part of the desert he's in, and the Shaul chases him out, chases after him. And suddenly, here they are. They're in the area of Matsada. Actually, if you look at the Das Mikra, thinks that that's exactly where we are right now, not far from En Gedi, in the area of Matsada. So many people have been there. And there is a mountain, and David and his people are on one side of the rock, and Shaul and his people on the other side of the rock, and they're going around to get him.
By the way, Rabbi, in Gedi, one of the rivers is called Nachal David.
Right.
In En Gedi, right there by Matsada, not far.
Right. So this is exactly where we are. This is the story that that's about. Right. The Mitzadot is not far from Matsada. It might actually be Matsada. So this is, of course, the story of Matsada we understand are much later, right? The story of Matsada is the time of the Chashmonaim, right? This is before the first Beis HaMikdash, that's where the second Beis HaMikdash. We're talking at least 700-800 years in between. But the same place is the same place. And all of a sudden, Shaul is finally closing in on David to catch him. As he's about to catch David, a messenger comes. And the messenger says to him, what? Quick! We better get going. The Plishtim are attacking. Now this is a very telling moment for Shaul. What does Shaul care about more? Destroying David, his enemy, or protecting the Jewish people? So Shaul, who we have painted as a less than perfect leader, has to make this decision. Remember, he's been running after David for who knows how long, right? David is the bane of his existence. Still, Shaul makes the decision to protect his people, even at what is, in his mind, great personal loss. Vayashav Shaul Meredof Acharei David, Vayechid Kras Pushim, Alkein Krom Akom Hu Sela HaMachlokas. So in fact, even though Shaul was torn, so torn they called it the Sela, the Rock of Machlokas, because this, there was an inner struggle within Shaul. Shaul does what's right. And Shaul, in fact, goes to protect the Jewish people, even though it means that he's not going to get David. So just in Pshat, this is a very powerful story. Shaul, who is clearly a flawed leader, right? Shaul, who's suffering from some mental illness, perhaps, right? Shaul, who wants to kill David for no good reason. Despite that, when push comes to shove, he's a leader who puts leadership first, ahead of anything personal. He doesn't care about being reelected. He doesn't care about his numbers in the polls. All what he cares about is doing right by his people. And that's very impressive. This story is extended upon in the Medrash. The Medrash, number 7 on the sheet, goes and it gives us a little bit more of a juicier version of what happens. It says in Tehillim, written by David, Hashem Sali Mutsudasi Mufalti Li. That appears both in Tehillim and the Yossi. Do you know where else that pasuk appears?
No.
That's in Shmuel Bet. It's the Haftorah for Ha'azinu and Shvi Yishal Pesach. And unfortunately, we didn't have a Shvi Yishal Pesach Haftorah this year. So it was a tough year this year. So what he says, Hashem Sal'i, God is my rock. So again, Hashem's referred to as rocks in other times, right? For example, Ma'os Tzur, Yeshua Si, right? Where we saw first God is Tzur. So what's Sal'i Mitzuda Si? So he says, Ma'ra Dovah Lekales Besela. What did David think that God should be called a rock? Al Shem Shenasa L'Nais Besela. There was a miracle that happened by a rock. David was on the run. David was surrounded like a crown, meaning that Shaul's men had surrounded him on all sides. He couldn't go anywhere. He saw himself falling in the hands of Shaul. So he turned to God. He said, remember Shaul said I was going to be the king? Did he do that for nothing? I'll never become the king. I'm about to be killed by Shaul. So he turns to God, he says, what was the sense? Another pasuk in Tehillim, this pasuk we say in
Hallel.
He says that Kohalam Kosev, everything is falsehood. Right? What is it? It's a lie. I'm going to be the king. I'm about to die. He said, you're calling Shmuel a liar? No, whatever Shmuel says is true. Everything he says is true. So all of a sudden a Malach comes. What's a simple understanding that a Malach came? A messenger. The Medrash says, no. Rabbi Omer Malach min Hashemayim. God sent down an angel. He said, this person didn't just come down and give him a message. This is what's happening. He gave him advice. You better run. The warriors of Shaul David were nose to nose. Some people said, no, first we have to get David. Other people said, no, first you got to go fight for the people. We'll find David a different time. There was a rock between them. The rock broke. And they were face to face. At that point, when we say, a post says David Adam Mecher Ra'ah. Anosim Ve'ayim Derech Ve'ayim Nesiva. Hu Yivarech S.
Donald Trump.
Right? Where does that come from? Anosim Re'morachim. What does it mean, Morachim? He says, Anosim Shul Morachim, that this, if by doing this, God saved two kings. He saved David, who would have been killed. He would have been saved Shaul, who would have done a terrible sin by killing David. So therefore, on the one hand, Hashem stepped in, and he saved David's life. On the other hand, this is a feather in the cap of Shaul. We give Shaul credit, because Shaul, at the end of the day, chose to do his duty and to protect Bnei Yisrael over his personal animus towards David. But with this, David is saved, and he lives to see another week of being chased by Shaul. So we will continue with that next week.
Here, Rabbi, because it said 7:30. That's not fair. And I was out walking, and we turned around and came back because I thought it was going to go to 8.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Marcia. You know, but Shlomo sent out an email.